Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. Thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it. Robbie Rez here with you from Cigar Federation, as always. We've got our conscious Canadian, John, sitting in for Logie Bear today. John, how's everything going in the Great White North?
Good, man. I got my Central City Imperial Porter, and I got my El Oso Mama, and I'm in my happy place. I mean, I look around, and I see that everything I see is on fire and covered in smoke, which kind of sucks, but I'm in my happy place, so that's all right.
You got some wildfires up there, or what?
Dude, they're, like, I think the entire northern section of my province is on fire. The entire eastern province of Saskatchewan is on fire. Washington's on fire. BC's on fire. It's bad times, but you know what? I'm not worried about it because I got a cigar. It's tasty. I got a beer. It's tasty. It's a problem for another day.
I almost hesitate to ask, but I see that you've got a flag hanging in your background.
Absolutely.
As long as it's not the Canadian flag, you're okay.
As long as it's not the Canadian flag, the condo board isn't going to give me a hard time. I went with Nicaragua because it seemed appropriate for the guests that we have on today.
Wow, you even broke out a little bit of a
accent there.
Gee. Little accent there. It came out of nowhere.
I'm working on it. My girlfriend gives me a hard time because she's like, "Stop trying to appropriate their language." And I'm like, "No, I'm trying to pronounce it correctly, and not like some, you know, blonde-haired gringo who's like, por favor, gracias, el templete."
I don't even. I got nothing. Anyway, no, we appreciate it. Yeah, that accent came out of nowhere. We've got Kyle Gillis from Warp Cigars here with us. Kyle, thanks for taking the time to hang out with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, always, man. It's a lot of fun having you on. It's been a while, actually. It's been almost a year, I think, since we've had you on. So It'll be good to catch up. A lot's happened with Warp Cigars in a year, man. And I remember if you watched some of our IPCPR coverage, that was kind of the way that I introed the interview was, man, when we met you last year, you had three cigars and the one limited edition of the Unico, and now it's like everything's just exploded, man. It's been a good year.
Yeah, it's been a good year. It's you know, the best thing about it is people are receiving the brand really, really well, and they're enjoying the product, and they're enjoying the work down in Miami, and they're enjoying the work in Nicaragua, and so it's just, you know, we're just having a lot of fun doing it and bringing you guys some cigars that are a little bit different.
That's awesome, man. No, we've been enjoying it. Definitely been enjoying it at Cigar Federation so far this year from IPCPR releases, the Futuro. I know, John, you reviewed that. I think you gave it a 91.
Yeah, that was a deadly cigar. Although I didn't get a chance to review Kyle's blend, and I want to try Kyle's blend and compare it to the one that I reviewed because it's kind of, I guess it's a yin-yang thing where it's, you know, same cigar but two different blends.
Are the blends actually different, or is just the Vitolas different?
The Vitolas and the blends vary a little bit slightly because of preferences to Max, who did the 109, and the Supremo, which is my rendition. When we were doing them, because like if you guys even go back into 2008, 2009 when I first started, majority of the sizes were Corona Gordas, so that cigar has a very good size and has a very close thing to my heart. So the 109 is a little bit more open than the Suprema, because just the condensing of the ring gauge. So you're going to get a little bit more condensed flavor profile out of mine than you are Max's. Max's is a little bit more open and a little bit more delicate than the Suprema. So it's just two very different experiences. And it's kind of funny because when we finished blending them, I liked his a lot, and he liked mine, and we're like, no. So like, it was just like one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, these are our looks on it. These are how we think it should go. And then we just released it. You know, Max came up with the idea to bring back the 109, which is, you know, really cool. A lot of people are liking the unique shape of it, the unique factor of it. And then I'm just playing Jane with a Corona Gorda, sorry. So.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, we do appreciate that you stick to those. The classic sizes, the smaller ring gauges, that seems like what all of our viewers and, excuse me, all of our members in Cigar Federation are really gravitating towards. So what you do really fits right in the niche of what we want. So, we did the Futuro, the 109, and just today, the Don Ronaldo 2015. I gave it a 94 between John and Seth that did a combo review. So everything's been really, really popular, man.
Yeah, we're just, like I said, I'm just really happy that you guys are enjoying them and that, you know, you get to experience, I guess, like what a lot of people are saying are just a different profile and a different aspect to, you know, some of the newer stuff that's coming out on the market. So we're just really happy that we can, you know, have people enjoy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, well, let's do the little intro thing where, you know, if we've got somebody who's listening who might not be familiar with Warp Cigars, to give a little bit of background on the company, and you had three releases this year or four? Three?
We've had Hacienda, we've had Don Ronaldo, we've had Futuro, and then we had Scott Flower.
Okay. You know, oh, the Hacienda, that was the one I forgot about.
Yeah, we're at four right now, but, you know, that's not too bad for
you. So, yeah, so give us some background on the company.
Yeah. So the company actually started in 2008, and I was actually in college while I was still doing it. I was actually living about an hour north of Miami here in West Palm, and I just went down to Little Havana one day and just started trying to find a factory that was willing to teach me and learn and all that stuff. So years go by, and I'm doing it, and then I had to finish school, and I was going up to Orlando to go to UCF, and I stopped the company for a little bit, put it on pause, and then last year's IPCPR was the debut of the rebrand of the company, and we launched there with El Oso, La Comena, and Flor de Valle, and then we've just been taking off since then. We utilize two factories, El Titan de Bronze down in Miami, and we utilize TAPSA, which is Casa Fernandez down in Esteli.
Now, how many cigars have you made out of Casa Fernandez?
Off the top of my head, probably like 10. because I'll make something and then like I'm like, ah, I'll go back to it, or but you know, we have Flor de Valle, we have Cristale, Gran Valle, we have Brumas, and then we have the ever popular Sky Flower, and then we have La Hacienda with Superioris and Gran Robusto, and then we have Futuro now, which is you know, two sizes, which is the Celestine 109, Celestine Suprema, and then we have the ever elusive Nerol.
What was that last one?
Lilia Rojo.
Oh, yeah, that one hasn't... Has that even come out yet? No, huh?
Yeah, no, it came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think all of it's actually gone from all of our retailers are saying. They're all gone.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I actually saw that Max posted a picture up on Instagram.
Yeah. He does that to piss me off because he's like, hey, look at all the stuff that's being rolled and I get to smoke and you don't because I have to ship it to you. And I'm like, okay, well, then just send like five cabs to me. And we'll be even. But, I mean, I'll be down there in September anyway, so I'll get them.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Very cool. So let's see. So we've got a ton of audience questions. And, John, feel free to jump in whenever you want. And we'll just...
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
It's a personal question. I want to know who at El Titan de Bronze sold their soul to the devil to make cigars? Because we've noticed that a lot of the stuff that's coming out of El Titan de Bronze, and we went back at like some top-rated cigars, and everything that is coming out of that factory seems to be just perfectly constructed, like and amazing. What's going on? Who's selling their soul?
No one sold their soul. It's just that they have to deal with Sandy. Sandy is probably the most obsessive compulsive quality person I've ever, like quality assurance person I've ever met. I used to think I was a pain in the ass to work with, but then I started working with her and I'm like, man, you're on a whole nother level, Sandy. Her OCD is like crazy. So like she'll, and she's like, the funny part is like, it's funny, but it's, you know, it's a joke, but the rollers like fear her. Cause like when she comes over to the table and like picks the cigar up to look at it, they stop. They look dead at her. And if like, there's like a look of like, oh, on their face, she'll put it down and then she'll just like look at it, or Sandy will just throw it away if it's not to her liking. So wow. It's the way that she looks after it. It's the factory manager Ani who watches over everything. She was in the Costa Rican tobacco industry for a long time, and she was in Havana, and now she's here. She's the Hawkeye. She has a very good palate. She's very good at blend checking, blend validations, things like that. And the rollers, you know, they're doing 100, 120 a day, depending on what they're rolling and who they're rolling it for. For us, it's usually about 100. They take their time. I mean, they're there 8 hours, and you have people like Maria and Jose and, Reynaldo and all them who are doing 100 in an 8-hour period. So it takes a long time to do 100. So like every single one of those hundreds is check all the way through to the process. So it's just, I mean, great material. Some of the best material I've ever seen. It's quality people with a lot of skill, and it's just a great family atmosphere. Like, if you guys have been down there.
I have.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
No?
If you, okay. I wish. I'd camp out on the floor, and I'd force them to teach me how to roll, and I wouldn't leave.
if you ever go, like, for people who've been down there, they know this, that when you come in, like, Sandy just treats you like family. Like, it's just a really family-oriented atmosphere, and, you know, the love of it shows. Like, cigars are a labor of love. You guys know that. I know that. And it shows down there because everything's so well taken care of and so well run. And, you know, that's what makes it what it is. And, you know, we're just happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And John made a good point. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we see come out of El Titan is the construction and everything, it's so on point that it's just, and it seems as though, I mean, sometimes cigars that come out of there are a little bit more expensive, but when you smoke the cigar, I mean, you know where that money's going. You're paying for that little bit extra, like you were saying, like every 100 cigars, check. And I'm not saying that other factories don't do that, but I don't know. It just seems like there's a different level going on there. And I would love to go down and visit. Logan and I were in Miami for about half a day in May, and I put it on the schedule, but when you go meet cigar people...
Oh, you're there for hours.
Yeah, it's yeah.
you get stuck, because, like, when I go down there, I get down there at, like, 8 in the morning, and I'm like, okay, Sandy, like, I have to leave at 2 o'clock, because otherwise you get stuck in Miami traffic going northbound, and I'm like, I'm not getting stuck in Miami traffic going northbound, because you'd be stuck to go 12 miles for 3 hours, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. But it's hard because she's sitting there and she's like giving me Cuban coffee and pastries and there's just cigars throwing in everywhere. So it's just like, you know, it's difficult because like you're having such a good time. You're learning about material. You're learning like, you know, rolling aspects and all that kind of stuff. So it's really hard to pull yourself away. So if you ever get down there though, you know, let me know. I'll meet you down there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely on the list. And Logan and I experienced a little bit of all of what you were just saying, just not at not at El Titan. We got the hospitality, the Cuban coffee, the little cakes. Logan freaked out about little cakes. Yeah. And that traffic, too. We got some of that as well. So, but, yeah, I mean, a cigar meeting where you go in just to meet, you see each other in person, say hello, see what's going on.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Oh, yeah. The longest I've ever been there was when I was there with Willie. And that's because you were just smoking. It just kept going. Because you know Willie.
Yeah.
He's just a chimney.
Yeah.
I mean, you go through it. So, like, no bullshit. Just learn. I mean, you're talking about tobacco. You're smoking. You're just, like, you're, you know, having a good time. And, you know, so the time just flies.
Yeah. No, and Willie's awesome, too. Actually, now that you mention it, Willie Herrera will be on Cigar Chat next week. So everybody will be back on Thursday next week. And just to remind our audience, you're listening to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Kyle Gellis of Warped Cigars, catching up on everything that's going on with Warped. We'll be back next week with Willie Herrera, so that'll be fun. So let's see, I'm going to go through some of these questions. We got a ton of audience questions. This first one is from Jason Myers. Jason always asks such good questions. It says, Warp has come out with several new releases over the last 2 years. Do you plan to spend some time focusing on your current catalog, or do you have more releases in the works?
You know, one of the main things is that we wanted to do was really is we're focusing on the core lines, obviously, but sometimes when a project concept comes about, I just have to see it to its fruition. I have to do it. Once the concept, you know, comes into my head, I will literally just keep going until I get it done. So I have one other project for this year that's already been planned. It's been in the works. And then the next release will be at the IPCPR next year. So yeah, we have two more projects. That's it.
So a little bit of both then. I mean, you're really
after the show next year, like it's I creatively speaking, it's draining to give life to a brand and a life or a concept, and then you know it takes a toll. So you just have to kind of pick and choose which ones are the go tos. But next year for the show, we have something really cool planned, a little bit different. So we're really excited about it. So we're going to do one release for it, and then we'll be just going along with what we have.
Breaking news.
Yeah. So John, you want to take any guesses as to what we'll see next year? I've got a guess. What's yours?
Yep. I have no idea. I mean, honestly, at this point, like with the portfolio so full, I can't. Unless you're going to make, the Cuban Square as your booth, I can't imagine what you're going to do for IPCPR in Las Vegas.
No, I'm telling you, we'll start the rumor right now. It is going to be a 7x80 at La Hero Bomb. Just pepper, 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 power, power, power. That's what's going to happen.
Paul Palmer could make that happen. I'll just take the lunatic from him and just be like, just stuff it full of the arrow.
That's if you guys are familiar with the Warp portfolio, that's just a little bit of humor on that, because obviously that's so far outside of what you guys do.
Oh yeah. You want to know humor though? It was what Paul Palmer did right before the IPCPR. We're waiting for a freight to come in, and I had samples from Nicaragua that I did. I was like, I need them sent up. So he's like, yeah, it'll come in the freight. And I get the freight. I'm going through boxes, and I'm like, where are they? I can't find them. So I open a box, and I see this bundle of these like 80x8. And I'm like, I'm staring, and I'm like, Paul's playing a joke on me, because he knows I would never in my right mind do that. And I'm like, he's got to be joking. I call him up, and I'm like, Paul, like, what the hell? Like, there's these 80x8s in my freight. Like, what is this? Is this a joke? And he just starts laughing uncontrollably. He's like, it's not a joke. I don't know why they're in there. I think he just did it to get a laugh out of me, because I came back to him at the show, and he's like, oh, here are your samples, by the way. And he gave me the actual right ones. And it's just that was just kind of the humor that he has, because he knows how much I'm appalled by that size.
Just raise your blood pressure a little bit when you open up some of your samples.
It makes me worry, because I'm like, I need these samples for the show, and now you're just giving me 80x8.
Now, do you get any pressure from any of your retailers to come out with a bigger ring gauge cigar? Because they're really popular.
Oh no, yeah, we get a lot of them, and I tell them no.
We get a lot, but it doesn't matter.
No, yeah, you guys. You can ask all you want, but I mean, like, I've said it. I've been saying this since last year. They're not to my liking. I won't make something that I don't like myself, because if anything else, I'm the one who's going to be smoking it. You know, like, I have to make sure that it's that what I like and what, you know, I stand for, what I was brought up around. And it's just not something that I see myself doing, nor will I do it. It's just not. I would rather come out with, like, everyone's like, oh, you got to make like a 60x6. And I'm like, no, I'll make a 40x4.
Yeah, I love it. That's the perfect response.
Yeah. So like, whatever you want me to do, I'll just half the size and then make that. Like, I'll make a 32x5.
I'll make a 40x4, and you can just buy two of them.
Oh no! Speak of the devil, watch.
Oh,
we're going mobile.
Going mobile off the rails.
I'll be honest, John. This always makes me nervous when this happens. It doesn't happen very often, but. When the guest gets up and walks away.
You never know what's going to happen here on Cigar Chat, broadcast around the world on AFRN Network.
Yeah, I'll take this.
Like I told you, like, I'd rather do, like, someone says to do a 60x6, I'll do a 28x4.
Nice. That looks fantastic.
And what is that?
That's just, these are actually what, if people ever came to Titan, and I would just give them these as, like, the welcome gift, so, like, it's just something that I don't sell. I don't like do anything for it, but they do come in wheels of 50.
Oh wow. Mm.
So like that's it's just something like if you're ever at Titan and you happen to run into me, more than likely I'm gonna give you one of these.
Nice. What blend is that?
It's just
something new.
I went up real quick and it's something very different. It's tobacco I normally wouldn't use because it was there and I'm like, oh, let's see what this would be like in a little like Panatila, and you know, so yeah. You would see that come out before you would see a 60x6.
Absolutely. Okay. There you go.
I can go back in there and pull out a bunch of other stuff if you want to start freaking out. But...
No, I'm sure. You make everybody jealous.
I really don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, no kidding, right? So let's see. Go back to some of these audience questions. John, feel free to jump in whenever you like.
We've got a question from On.
Well, I'm asking a question from Garen here. We'll jump in with a question from On right after that.
Roger that.
Sorry, I already hit the button. Otherwise, I would have gone with your question.
Button's hit. Got to go
once,
with it.
Once you hit the button, that's it, man.
That's it.
So let's see. This one's from Garen. Also asked a lot of good questions. Warp kind of splashed onto the scene, or splashed back onto the scene, I should say, and seems as if everything is in really high demand. So you're finding it hard to keep up with supply and demand for, you know, for all of your retailers.
It's something that mostly Miami will have the problem moving into the future, I think, just because of the limitations. You know, Colmena is the most popular out of Miami. So, you know, you have two rollers who roll them, and they roll 100 a day. So shop, you know, it's 10 boxes a day. And they're not constantly rolling it because the rollers have to do other things. So I get them for a certain amount of time because I don't want their hands to get messed up between switching from a 44 to rolling, let's say, like a 50 for someone else.
Sure.
No, I schedule them for months at a time to do work. But Nicaragua, there's not a problem. But Miami, you know, that's part of it. You know, 100 a day, and that keeps the concept true. So
interesting. Now, is that common where you have to, when you're working with different factories, where you go into the factory and say, okay, these are the guys who are going to be rolling my cigar, and I want to book them for January, February, March, or whatever?
You usually book them depending, like, when you really do, like, a true, like, okay, I want – this, it depends. Like, in Miami, they're singular. So, you know, Reynaldo and Raf, they're by themselves. So I'm like, okay, I need, you know, 6,000 cigars. So 6,044 and 6,036. So it takes them however long they need to for the run. And then, you know, so 10 a day, you know, 100 a day, you know, they're working 5-6 days a week, depending on Reynaldo and Raf, they come in 6 days a week. And then you book them when the production is done. Someone else's production schedule is now already on top of them. So they just switch. So if I'm like, okay, I know, you know, through forecasting or whatever, like, I need to double up or whatever I need to do, I just double up and get them to roll it. Nothing changes in the aspect, it's just I have them for longer. But in Nicaragua, they work in pairs. So, like, with Skyflower, if I find when they did it, they use front row. So only, like, the best rollers in the factories in the front roll them. They will keep them, those pairs, together for as long as they can to make sure the production's the same. So, you know, because once they work together, you know, you have two guys or, you know, whatever it is, you need to keep them together because they've done such a good job together. They know how each other work. Because you have one puncher, and then you have someone to punch the wrapper on. So we try to keep them together as much as possible because it's a pain in the ass, to be all in all honesty. Like, they hate when I do it, but I'm like, I need them to do it. Because otherwise something may be slightly off or anything like that. So it's just a quality thing that I have mentally that I always try to, you know, do.
That's interesting though. I mean, we've been doing the show for a long time, and we've had a lot of people talk about, you know, working with different rollers and everything. But I've never heard anyone say that you book their time. The way that you phrased it, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to think about it from that standpoint. And you always think, well, my cigars are made here. Mm-hmm. But well, no, but I'm actually booking this. My cigars are made here, and I book time in January, February, March to make sure that, you know, my quotas are met or whatever.
I have to do it. Like, it's because they're switching from a 44. Like, let's take Reynaldo, for instance. Reynaldo is becoming a machine to roll the 44 perfectly. So if I get him for, let's say, 4 months, and then he goes and rolls something from another brand, he'll roll a different size. So when I get him back, I'm going to be able to be like, okay, you roll me for my personal collection. Like, give me, like, 1,000 cigars to make sure you still got it before I start making production for retailers and consumers. Because he's been off of it for 3-4 months or what, so, like, it's a damn mess.
Huh.
Because that's just how I am, though. Like, I want to make sure that when someone picks up a Warped, I want them to have the same experience they had the first time they smoked it, whether it's 10 days later or it's 3 years down the road.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't want it to switch.
So with that in mind, and I'm kind of riffing on some questions here, John. You can jump in a second. With that in mind, have you thought about opening up your own factory and hiring your own people?
No. No, that's way too much work. No.
Oh, hell no.
Hell no.
Andy and Eduardo, they have it down locked. They're experts in what they do, and I let them do it. I come in, I blend, and then I watch over production, and I validate, and then I check crop, and then that's it. Like, I don't want to deal with rollers and I'm not I don't want to do that. It's a lot of work.
So you'd just dealing with picking your time and scheduling it out, that's just enough. That's good enough.
Specifically, I can do that. That's fine. But
yeah, perfect.
It really is a lot of work because, like, it's, you know, if it was that easy, every cigar brand owner would do it.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't have other factories that are, you know, have run factories logistically have handled production, have handled the rollers and making sure that they know the blends and you know the placements of it and everything like that, managing the quality assurances and managing the personnel. So it's a lot. I mean, if you guys have been down in Nicaragua, so you've seen the operations that are down there. Now imagine doing that on yourself.
Yeah.
While still trying to run and blend and trying to do all that. It's just almost impossible. So you just leave it up to the people who have done it for the longest time and are professionals with it.
You know. There you go. That's what I wanted to know. John, what's the question you wanted to ask?
So for our viewers out there who aren't familiar with ONFON, ON is the head of the Lancero Nation Council. And, of course, this question is going to be Lancero-related. It's a two-parter. Yeah. The first part is, will every warped blend have a Lancero made? And he sure hopes so, because Lanceros are terrific. I agree. And the second part of that, the follow-up is, he found the El Oso Mama rolled a little tight. Now, I'm actually smoking El Oso Mama, and it's drawing perfectly. But, Kyle, can you respond to those two questions?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if every, you know, marca that we release will have a Lancero Vitola. It's something that when we do the blends, when I come up with the concept, will it fall in? Actually, when I was coming up with the concept for the IPCPR 2016, it was on my paper for write down of sizes that I may want to, you know, blend and look into. It was, and I'll just be quite honest with that. But every marca, I don't know. It really depends on the blend, because I let the blend do all the work for, you know, tell me what to do. Sometimes it will be phenomenal in it. Sometimes it won't be. You know, like, so Comena, in essence, has the 36, which is a petite Lancero. Then you have Mama. Flor, we don't have a Lancero. Hacienda, we don't have a Lancero. Futuro, I don't see it getting a Lancero, just because I know how Max is and I know how I am with that. But you never know. If it calls for it, it calls for it. That's the way we do it, and that's the way I kind of pick sizes. You know, if it works well with the blend and represents the blend well, then we go with it. And in terms of Mama, we did hear that a little bit, and when we did hear that, I don't know when his box code was based on the production, but when we did hear that, I went down and I had a nice long talk with Raph, and we found the problem was is he was turning them too much, so we fixed that. So, like, he was turning them too much, and they were staying in the mold and getting compressed more, which is why they were a little bit tight. So you're only supposed to turn them about, you know, two times, depending on. He was turning them a little bit more. So we fixed that. And that's why, actually, like, since we've heard that from a couple of people and retailers, every time there's a production of Mama, I always go through and start pulling about 5 per wheel out to check them. Plus, also, everything's draw tested down there. So we just have a double Hawkeye on the gauge when they're getting done.
Nice.
Yep. That's the great thing about working with factories like El Titan and working with TAPSA, is if, you know, I hear things like this, my first instinctual thing is to tell Sandy, or my first instinctual thing is to tell Paul down at CASA, and then I tell Max, because Max is in Nicaragua most of the time anyway on the factory floor, because they look into it immediately, and then if there's a problem, we can find it and fix it immediately and make sure it doesn't happen again. So we're always telling people, like, if you have a problem, you know, tell us, and we'll fix it, you know. So that's one of the great things about working and kind of having a boutique company, is that, you know, consumers and retailers can do that with us. So we encourage people, like, if there's something that's not right, like, please tell me, because I will try to fix it immediately.
So. John, any follow-up comments?
Like I said, I mean, this box I think I have is about a year and a half old, and I must have gotten the right box, because, I mean, it's delicious and brilliant, and I'm digging it, so I don't know. You know, buy a box of El Oso Mama, because they're great.
No, I've smoked a handful of those, too, and I never had any issues with them.
You know, it's a handmade product when it comes down to
sure.
it. That kind of makes it how its organicness is, that it's a handcrafted thing, you know, and guess what? Human hands will make mistakes sometimes, you know, kind of what it is.
For sure.
So,
for
know,
sure.
That's... Tell us, email us, you know, let me know, and we'll get taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that I like about... when you start talking about handmade products, you're talking about cigars, or you can even go a little bit further with a wine or craft beer or something like that. When sometimes you can have the same cigar, or you can have the same bottle of wine, or you can have the same, you know, the same bottle of beer that you had, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and then you have it again, and maybe it's a little bit different. It's not going to be exactly the same for the most part. I mean, sometimes, yeah, they will, but there's always going to be a little bit of margin for error both ways, either good or bad. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like that. I don't know, maybe I'm weird because I think that's kind of cool because I fire up a cigar that I know I love and think, well, I wonder if it's going to do something a little bit different this time.
Yeah, and that's one of the great aspects of a handmade product.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, just a reminder to our audience, listen to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com. Broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Broadcast on YouTube. Remember to subscribe and like our YouTube channel. I think it's just YouTube.com/CigarFederation. But if that's not what it is, you can just search for Cigar Federation on YouTube and you'll find it. Let's see, going down some more of these audience questions. This one's from Douglas Shepard. He wants to know, what is your daily smoke?
It depends on the day. And I'll honestly, like when I come in and I have an espresso, so the first thing I do is like, all right, what am I going to have today? But normally, I usually start my day with Colmena. If it's one of those days where it's like, Colmena is usually the number one starter anyway because it's the lightest and like your first cigar of the day, you can pick up on the nuances. But if I'm having like espresso or I'm having like, if I make a cappuccino, you know, out in the warehouse, it's Brumos. Because Brumos pairs the best with coffee, in my opinion. And it's usually start something there, and then progressively from there, it's probably since it came out with Futuro. And then usually I'll end somewhere with like Hacienda. So, you know. And then Skyflower is usually thrown in there as well. So
yeah, that sounds like a pretty good day. Now we reviewed the Skyflower too, right, John?
We sure did.
I left that out. And I know we gave it a good score. Do you know what it was?
I don't. I'm sure it was in the 90s, though, because, you know, it just seems like it's on auto awesome. Like, that's all. I'm becoming a warped. It's like, yeah, okay, I'll review the warped. Whatever, 91, it's delicious. Yeah. Can you guys make a bad cigar so I can, you know, pick on it? Because honestly, we've gone through the entire portfolio, and they've all been great.
No, I can't. I don't know if I could do a bad cigar because if I smoked it and it was bad, I would just be like, I'm not releasing it. It's got, remember, to be released, it's got to go through me first. And I'll be the first one to say if it doesn't work. You know, I've gone through a lot of blend variants and a lot of concepts that just didn't work. And it was, you know, and I'm like, ah, no, it's not going to work. So only, you know, the ones that really truly are meant to make it. You know, that's part of the process.
How many cigars do you find yourself going through on a typical weekly basis?
Probably about 35, 40.
Wow.
You know, because, like, a lot of it is, you know, blend validations and making sure things are on point for everyone. So, like, when you guys get, you know, production or whatever, that it's on point to my standards, even though they're validated through all the entire process from down in from Miami to Nicaragua. Because, like, when they get done in Miami, you have Ani who validates – and then usually during when a production run's finished, I come down. And then that's why I'm down there usually once or twice a week. And then I'll validate them. And then the production gets put down or it gets boxed or whatever it needs to be done. And then in Nicaragua, it gets validated by Arsenio and Max and the blending team down there. And then it gets shipped to Casa Fernandez where Paul validates it when it lands. Paul then brings the cigars to me because we're only about an hour away from each other up to my office. And then we sit down and validate them together. Yeah. And then that's when the freight gets delivered after we get a final approval on it. So, you know, there's a lot of validating, then there's a lot of, you know, just, you know, enjoying.
To answer your original question, Rob, the Skyflower got a 91.5 box split.
You found that quicker than I could.
That was a group review too. So that was like, that's just not me jonesing about how awesome the cigar is. This is, you know, multiple people validating my opinion once again. It's a great cigar. Garen Fry has a really great question here, which is interesting. He wants to know if you guys have any plans to work with San Andreas or Connecticut Broadleaf, or as a side note to that, is there any leaf out there that you haven't worked with that you'd like to try?
He's getting up and leaving again.
He's getting up again. This you know, if we had the mobile IPCPR video, we'd be following him around the office here.
Yeah, we should send out GoPros to all of our guests. Sponsorship idea for GoPro. Why don't you work on that?
Check out GoPro.com.
Yeah, luckily the walk-in's not that far away from where I'm sitting. So, but to answer your question about San Andrea.
Oh my.
That looks tasty.
Interesting.
This is something that we've been working on And it should. This is the one that's going to release at the end of the year.
Okay.
Boom.
This is, to answer the question plain and simply, there you go. The only thing I'm just not going to show you is the other side of the band that says the name.
So that actually looked like a larger ring gauge, too.
Probably the way I was holding it, you know how I usually do things. So
5.5 by 48?
It probably the length you may have right, but the ring gauge, I'm not going to say. I'll just let it I think you guys really like it. It's really weird how this project came to be. But when you hear about really what it is and its concept, you'll be like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually, from us. But you know how we do things. So I'm really excited about it. It's something very different. When I got the idea, it was kind of like, should I do this or not? And then I did it and had the blend, and I was like, okay, yeah, I got to put it out. It's one of those things that, like, once again, like I said earlier, like, if it's too good to have a concept to pass up, I'm not going to pass it up. So I'll put it out there and see what you guys think. But material I want to work with, I don't like broadleaf for myself. I just don't like the way that it tastes on my palate. I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. Never really have been. But other material, I'm really happy with Corojo and Criollo. So we'll see what happens. I know there's some crop that's growing down in Nicaragua right now that Anganorsa is doing that. The seed, I don't really want to let anything out, but I'm really excited about that. So I'll be down there when that gets harvested and starts processing. I'm really excited to see how that comes out. But other than that, I'm probably going to stick with Corojo, Criollo, and, as you can see, the San Andrea wrapper. So should be exciting.
Garen always asks the good questions, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, hey, I have a philosophy you won't know until you ask.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I think Garen might have just won. I'm not really sure, but I think he might have just won. By the way, we have some giveaways. We'll get into that later. I know all the guys who are watching live are waiting eagerly for that. Now, I read a question on here that I wanted to get to. It's at the bottom. This one's from Charlie, and Charlie's a big contributor on Cigar Federation as well. So any plans that you have right now or maybe in the future, to venture outside of El Titan and Casa Fernandez? Anybody else, maybe anybody else out there that you'd want to work with?
No, I'm very happy where I am. I love working with Sandy. I love working with, Paul and Eduardo and Max. And, the material is top grade. The people are top grade. And I'm very much at home with what I call my family. So I don't think I'll be venturing out.
Done. That's fair enough. I figured that was the answer, but I thought we'd ask it. I never ask any of Charlie's questions. I always see him after the show, so I was glad to see that I got to get to one of Charlie's questions. And there's another one here from Garen. Oh, where did it go? I have to scroll.
Is that the Anganorsa one?
No, we can get to that one too. So apparently Garen has never tried any of your cigars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to change, because I think Garen's going to win one of these samplers. And I don't think he hasn't tried your cigars out because he doesn't want to, but I don't think he has access to them. Mm-hmm. This is for someone who's never smoked any of your cigars. What would you recommend that they start out with and why? I have no idea what their preference is from a cigar standpoint, what they like, what would be like the best representation that you think of Warp cigars.
Well, it's hard to answer that with one simple cigar. So I'm going to answer it in the aspect of Miami and Nicaragua.
Okay.
Miami, I would start with Papa. I would start with El Oso Papa because that's where we started. So like that's the best way you can see the brand as I originally intended to have it seen in profile terms. Colmena came out after Oso, and Colmena was just kind of like a concept that I wanted to do, and that has one really close to my heart. But Papa kind of really put us out on the map with the terms of like different flavor profile than what I guess most people were used to at the time. So that's where I would start, because then you get to see where we go, but where we start is more important. So Nicaragua, I would have to say I would start with Flor de Valle Cristale, because that's going to show you how my profiling goes in Nicaragua. And then after Flor, I would go to Hacienda, and then you can go to Futuro after that as well, and you can go from there.
Okay. That's. I just thought that was an interesting question from someone that maybe hasn't tried your stuff yet. And it's funny, my favorite cigar you didn't mention. I mean, the La Colmena 44, man, forget about it. That's one of those, for me, that's a cigar that's like, that's a desert island kind of cigar.
Yeah.
You're going to a desert island and you can only bring one cigar with you.
I'm right there with you. Like, that's favorite profile, favorite size. Like, as I said, like, that mark has so much meaning to me because I knew exactly what I wanted. And when it actually came out and people got to, I was really nervous when I released it. Because I'm like, are people going to get it? Or is it going to be like people are going to say that they don't see it? Because there's a lot of figuring out how to best do that blend and have it best present, you know, its presentation. Are people going to get the completely covered foot? Are they going to get, you know, the whole flavor profile of it? Is it too delicate? And then people just loved it. And then it was just a sigh of relief. I'm like, oh, you know, because like that one was like mine. I was like, that's my baby. So like when you put your baby out there, it's like, you know, you're just like, but I love that cigar. And even if people didn't like it, I still have a walk-in full of them for myself. You know, it's just kind of, you know, I stockpiled. I have the first like four wheels from production ever done by Reynaldo. I have them in my humidor. They're just sitting. I touch them once in a while, but like, I kind of want to see how Colmena progresses. Normally you'll just see me smoking wet production, you know, as it comes off the table or whatever, but you know, just it's exciting to see how it progresses. I've been playing around with it, like the blend, just adding different like Liero to it. Like I put Medio Tempo in it just to see what it would do. And I haven't smoked it yet. I did that like a month ago. I haven't had a chance to get to it yet, so I'm kind of excited to see how that goes.
Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. John, you had a question you wanted to read.
Yeah, it's actually a question from Charlie, and Charlie wants to know a little bit more about the Futuro, and of course it's at Aganorsa's vault, which, you know, kind of sounds a little bit like the Disney vault. It's interesting. He wants to know what makes the tobacco special. Is it the age? Is it the varietal? And he also wants to know, you know, why does Fernandez lock up this particular leaf? So he's got a lot of questions around the Aganorsa tobacco.
Yeah, it's theirs. Like, they'll use it for personal projects. They'll use it for, you know, certain things that they want. It's almost like wine collectors keep the best, or wineries keep the best wine for themselves. You know, they keep the best vintages or whatever for themselves. I can understand it. You know, I've seen material from, you know, their warehouses that they sell to general public, and I've seen the tobacco that they keep for themselves. Some of the oldest tobacco is in their vaults. And some of the best, you know, shades and quality and looks, wrapper and material and all that. I've never really asked the in-depth question of Eduardo, like, why? I just don't ask. I'm just like, it's here. Okay, I want that. And then that. And then, you know, it's kind of like, when you just see Aganorsa material in general, though, you know, it's just very special. And it's just, I can use any of the material and just, you know, be happy. But it was something special, like, with this project with Max and I. Actually, it's funny enough, for the 2016 project, I'm going back in the vault. So,
opening up the vault, 2016.
We'll see what I come out with this time.
That's you mentioned that when you know, at IPCPR, right? You had to go into the vault and just there's something so romantic about just the idea of, well, these guys they have a ton of tobacco and they make a ton of cigars. And this is the really, 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 really good stuff that they don't let anybody even look at.
Yeah.
And you got to play around and blend with it. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people now, because like retailers are just getting Futuro in, and they're like, we just keep like calling and telling us, they open the boxes and they just can't believe the color, you know, the shading and the consistency of it, and you know, they're smoking it, and you know, they've told me like some retailers, I'm not gonna go into like names of what other cigars are comparing it to because the price differences or whatever, but they're like, it's comparing to cigars that I love from other brands that I'm like, wow, like that's actually a really big compliment to me because, like, you know, and it's just kind of one of those things that Max and I are like, Max has been texting me during this thing right now. I don't know what he probably talking about Futuro. He's probably just showing off something from the
picture. just posting more pictures on Instagram.
His ears just ping all the way down from Nicaragua. It's when he hears about Futuro. So, you know, I spent a long time on it. It was a year in the making. So it's just kind of cool to see it finally come to fruition and, you know, all that. So
now, is this the first time that Max has ever worked on a cigar?
No, Max is down there all the time. So Max is, when cigars are getting done, Max is at the helm. You know,
but as far as blending too, though?
No, I mean, he's been down there for years. So
really? I didn't realize that he was involved. I mean, we've talked with Max before, and I've met him, but I didn't realize that he was involved in the blending as well.
Oh, yeah, he's there. He's at the table. It's when he sit, because like when you do it, you're with everyone. It's, he's in the factory, he's in the blending room, mm-hmm. he's in the bales, he's in the, you know, he's in the processing warehouses, he's in the fields, and he pretty much runs the factory aspects and the farm aspect down there. That's a lot. It's a lot to do.
Yeah, that is a lot to do. God bless him. That's awesome.
And, you know, then he has to deal with us when we go down there.
on top of all that.
Yeah, on top of all that, making me fat from all the freaking eating he does. I mean,
he's skinny too.
He doesn't stop. It's crazy. But the food down there is phenomenal.
Oh yeah. My metabolism used to be like that.
Yeah. Did you guys go to that steakhouse that's down there?
In Managua?
No, in Esteli.
No, I don't think so.
I forgot the name of it. You guys need to go there. Usually like everyone from the cigar industry that goes down there and eat, like you're going down there, you usually eat there. Oh, it's so good. I can't wait to go back down and go eat there actually. Oh.
No, I've eaten the two times I've been down there. We went to the same place in it's in Managua, I believe, and the skirt steak, the churrascos, was fantastic.
Forget about it.
Fantastic. And my wife, God bless her, keeps trying to duplicate it. She's got the chimichurri. She's got that down. It's really, really good. But I can't get a skirt steak that is as tender as the skirt steak that they have down there. Just can't get it.
Yeah. It's a whole other realm of food. It's really good. I can't wait.
You don't think about that when you talk about we're going down to Nicaragua, we're going to tour the factories and everything, but the food really is good.
Oh no, it's delicious. That and the rum is cheap.
Well, there's that too. We try not to talk about that too much on the show because then everybody gets really jealous. But yeah, the Florida con is running like water down there, man.
It was like $8 a bottle down there.
Yeah, it's running, that's for sure. That's I've never. Oh man, Florida Kanye. I don't think I have any in my bar anymore either.
Yeah, it doesn't last.
And then I come home and I got to spend like $36 on a bottle of 12.
No, yeah, so do I. That's where it's here. And I'm like, nah, let's go to Nicaragua. I'll get it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I just got to go down there and buy it and just bring it home.
Yeah.
Stop in the airport and get the 2-for-1 Florida Kanye 18 special.
Yeah, that's the way to go right there.
He knows how it is.
Yeah, John mm-hmm. knows what's up. I need to travel with him more often. let's see. We got another question here. This one's from Jason Myers. We haven't talked about the Hacienda much. It says the Warped La Hacienda. It's a very good cigar offered at a great price point. Was it difficult to blend the cigar and get the tobacco that you wanted to use while still keeping it in that price range?
No, not really, because like when you go down there and you have the blend in mind, you already know like what farms and what lots you want to use. You know, as funny as it is, a lot of people ask me like where, because like a lot of people say they get citrus and you know like a nuttiness from the blend and all that. And actually, the blend is based off a dish. It's based off a pasta dish. It was a lemon ricotta ravioli with pistachio.
Oh my.
I never thought that would be good in my life, and I had it when I was in New York last year, and I'm like, I got to make this into a cigar. I was like, I was with my retail coordinator, Mike, at the time, and we're eating dinner, and he had the same dish, and he's like, can you make this into a blend? Like, can you make a profile like this? And I was like, I have no idea, but we're going to try. And then when we went to Nicaragua, we were like, okay, we're going to make this happen, and we just started working on it, and it wasn't difficult to get it at that price point. It was the difficult part was making the blend match the concept of the dish. That took a while. Because there's the citrus drink. You wouldn't think I think citrus and cigar, I think. That's kind of took a little bit to get, but we got there.
Oh, that's, yeah, I still haven't smoked that one. I'll have to track some down because I haven't smoked that one yet. But I hear a lot of good things. So, John, I think we're kind of running up against time here. We got about 10 minutes left, and I know you got a question.
Yeah, we got a good question from another Canadian brother of the Leaf, Jeff Boldrick, and he said he was looking at the details on the and he wants to know, and I'm sure I kind of know the answer to this, but do you have any intentions of setting up a retail dealing with any Canadian retailers? He says he's in Eastern Ontario and unfortunately doesn't have any easy access to Warped Cigars.
Yeah, the problem with it, as you probably know, John, is the bond and the distribution. like with the whole aspect of the distribution network with it. So we have to find a distributor who's willing to take the brand on, and it's just one of those things that takes a little bit. But if he does want them, I do know Atlantic Cigar does ship internationally, so.
I'm aware of that as well, actually.
Yeah.
And if you can't get them through Atlantic, Jeff, send me an email at cigarsurgeon@gmail.com, and I'm sure that I can hit you up with a special warp package.
So you're going to get so many emails right now?
Only applies to Jeff. Everyone else can.
Everyone can else can just not mm-hmm. even get involved. I don't know what that buzzer meant, but I think we've got.
That was just an email coming in about probably from Max. As I said.
Max, he's down there sending you more Instagram photos.
Yeah, more. You guys saw Lily Arroyo the other day, so I mean, like, he does that kind of stuff to me all day.
How often do you get down to Nicaragua?
I try to go right now probably once every 3 months, but that's probably going to drastically change to probably once every 8 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
I need to be down there for, you know, the brand's growing, which is amazing. You know, thanks to all the support of everyone out there, you know, enjoying it. And I need to make sure that it's at what they always expect. And the only way to do that is for me to be on the ground as well. So I got to get down there a little bit more often. And plus, I'm only an hour from Miami Airport, and the flight's like 2 hours, so it's not bad at all.
Yeah, that's true. I think of it from the standpoint of every time I've gone down there, I'm in California, so I fly out to Miami, and then from Miami to Nicaragua, which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, but based on the trip that I was taking, that's how it worked out.
Why don't you just fly to Houston then?
Well, I wasn't really planning the trip. It was planned for me. So.
Oh, okay,
but yeah, going through Houston would make a lot more sense. It wouldn't be this big. Making a big, what is that, a V, I guess? But all the way across the country and then all the way back?
Yeah, basically.
So, okay, we've got, I think this might be the last question that we're going to get to based on the time that we've got. Now, you've made it really, really clear that you're very comfortable with the two factories that you're working on, in Miami and in Casa Fernandez. So, Jason Medina wants to know, he says, what are the advantages of each place? What are the advantages of producing cigars in Miami, and what are the advantages of producing cigars in Casa Fernandez?
Well, as you know, the advantage out of Miami is the fact that we can create cigars and the quality that Colmena, Oso, and Don Reynaldo have become, you know, everyone's gotten used to. It allows me to do smaller projects that are a little bit more fun because of the quantity that I can do down there. Timing, you know, takes a little bit longer, but the product's better. It allows me to work with different tobacco, whereas in Nicaragua, I can only work with, you know, Nicaraguan and then, you know, if I need something else, I can get it, but I try to stay solely to Anganorso when I'm down there. And then it's just another outlet for me, a creative outlet, if I guess you will, because if you notice, all the Nicaraguan concepts I don't think would work from the Miami factory, simply because they were developed. Like, when I come up with a concept, I already know what factory I'm going to, because it's based off of what the actual concept is and the actual blend that I wanted to go with. So down in Nicaragua, that's for Miami. Down in Nicaragua, it comes up with, there's a vast more amount of material down there. There is a lot more rollers, so production is higher, cost is down, but quality is still what you're used to from Warped. Same still Cuban techniques that they use in Miami, that they use in Nicaragua, Cuban run and massive, you know, just massive expertise across the board. So those are kind of the advantages to working with both, and that's why I stay with who I stay with, because that's who I'm used to, you know. So I've gotten to know over this time, and, you know, the people who kind of, you know, took me in and have helped me grow into this and have, you know, treated me so well.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you find that comfortable place, why branch out? Why go anywhere else?
It's just one of those things that, you know, we get along very well. We understand each other very well. And there's no reason to go somewhere else when, you know, I'm very happy where I am, and, you know, the cigars, everyone's enjoying the cigars that we're coming out with from the factories. So I'm very content with where I am.
Cool. So actually, we've got a few more minutes, so I'll ask a couple more questions. This one's from Garen. Another one from Garen. He says, what was the reason behind the Liro Rojo being kind of a silent release? You guys didn't do a big push for it. So there wasn't much information put out about prior to the release. So what was the idea back behind that?
It was just another way of doing, you know, just something different for us, I guess, just to test to see how the theory went. You know, it was just because we were already marketing at that point. We were marketing Futuro and Don Reynaldo. So, you know, we're pretty strategic in the aspect of releases. And I did Lulia Rojo, and we had the Cavs, and I was like, let's just not do it. Let's just not market it. Let's just not put out anything in the media or anything like that, or just see what happens. And so at the show, we just kind of had the Cav there, which you guys saw, you know, or maybe you don't know. I think I may have shown you or given you Lulia Rojo. I don't know. There was just so much going on, but. People like were sick because I was showing it's like one retailer, one account, and then the next meeting would come in, they'd be like, what's this? I've never seen a 50 cap from you. And then it just kind of like a more organic release, I guess you could say. I didn't want people to know about it because I wanted to see how it would do and stand on its own. Because the cigar has no bands. So the cigar solely speaks for itself. So I didn't want that whole I wanted to see how a different aspect would go. That's kind of the way it went. And it seemed to do very well. People are loving it, and you know, and I'm happy that they're happy.
Have you tried anything like that in the past that hasn't worked?
No, this is the first time I ever did like one of those organic releases. Otherwise, you guys know that we put out press.
Yeah. It just seems like everything that you guys have been doing is working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was just curious.
It was just one of those things that I'm sitting here and I'm like, I want to see what happens if I do it organically. Like, yeah. I don't want to make a push for it. I want the cigar to speak for itself. So what would happen is like people would sit down for meetings or something, and I'd be like, here, try this. And I wouldn't tell them what it was, and they would smoke it, and they would be like, this is great. This is unlike something you guys have done before. What is this? And then I would show them. And then I wanted them to see what they thought of the cigar before they knew what it was. Because like when we showed it to them, I didn't tell them the name. I took the lid off the cab, and I said, you'll find out the name when you get the box. And so no one knew the name until they took delivery. And then it kind of just went like that, and then it started getting, you know, shared on social media and blogs and things like that, and so people are starting to try to find it now.
So. Huh. It's just funny, man. Like, sometimes everything just kind of works.
I guess so. You know, we had a lot of fun with it, and, you know, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, it was something a little bit different than we normally do. And, you know, sometimes it's good to change it up because, like I said earlier, it gets creatively difficult.
Oh, yeah.
To keep doing this, you know, to keep coming up with concepts that are original and things like that. So it's just kind of put me outside my comfort zone and, you know, the normal way we do it. So.
No, absolutely. We're right up against the end of our AFRN segment. So, Kyle, thanks so much for hanging out with us, guys. Thanks for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. Kyle, real quick, let everybody know where they can find you online, Instagram, Facebook, website, all that.
So if you guys want to find us on social media, everything is at Warp Cigars. So Instagram.com/Warp Cigars, Twitter.com/Warp Cigars, Facebook.com/Warp Cigars, WarpCigars.com if you guys want to find any of the retailers that are nearby you, more information about the cigars, or you want to check out some of the apparel, cases, and other stuff that we have for sale to you. And also great place to find out about news about any new releases, anything like that. But the number one place to find us for new releases and information is Instagram. So if you're going to follow us anywhere, follow us on Instagram.
Cool. Really do appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back next Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday next week with Willie Herrera from Drew Estate. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody listening in the Armed Forces Radio Network, as I say every week, thank you so much for what you guys do. You're built to do something that I'm not built to do. So thank you so much for putting your safety, putting our safety ahead of yours. We really do appreciate that. Everybody have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we'll be back with you next week. All right, and we're back. I have to go run off camera, so John's going to be in charge. I'll be right back.
I've got
all the winners, too. I've got all the winners picked already. You don't even get to pick any, John. So
yeah.
I've got all the winners, and as soon as I get back, I'll be right back.
There we go. So all the weasels are going to have to wait. So, Kyle, what was your experience with the IPCPR being in New Orleans this year versus Las Vegas last year? Can you talk a little bit about that experience? Because you've had both places now.
You know, New Orleans we didn't know what to expect because I'd never been to New Orleans. I always historically hear that it was a bad show. So we kind of were like, you know, we kind of got like a bad booth space, if you remember. We made the best of it. We had the main aisle locked. We had a 15-foot tower so you could see us from the main aisle anywhere you went. So we didn't know. Like, we didn't know what was going to happen. So when we got there, it was just like, it was just completely different from Vegas, because I'd never been to Vegas prior to the show.
And oh, wow.
Yeah, I loved it. I never had to leave the Palazzo, ever. I didn't have to breathe fresh air for a week.
No.
No, you could go work, drink, gamble, smoke anywhere, shop, and eat, all in the same thing.
It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it was amazing, and the room was phenomenal. I had a massive suite with a view of the mountains behind the casino.
Yep.
Like, you know, it was awesome. But, you know, Vegas, it was a very open show. It was very wide. So yeah, the foot traffic wasn't there. Once again, we had bad placement because of we were new and all that. So we went to New Orleans, and New Orleans is a very different city. And, you know, we stayed across the street from the convention center. But, you know, we did a lot of business, and a lot of people couldn't say that for the show. And we were always busy. I literally, from day one to the end of the show, I literally went from meeting to meeting. I had no in-between time. So when I got done with one meeting, I was pushed into the next one. So all my people were busy, and it was a great show for us, you know. And, you know, we're looking forward to going back to Vegas, though. There's a difference between New Orleans and Vegas. New Orleans is for buyers. It's for true buyers. Vegas is for people who want to come to Vegas and go to a cigar show. And that's the opinion of me, and that's the opinion of some other, you know, people in the industry. You'll have a lot of different aspects to it, and, you know, but I'm looking forward to it.
You know, I would definitely say that, you know, Las Vegas versus New Orleans, we were able to just walk up to your booth in Las Vegas and start talking to you, and it was a great interview. And when we went to New Orleans, I mean, no joke, I mean, we must have circled by your booth, I don't even know, Rob, 8-10 times, and you guys were hopping like every minute of every day. And we had to book some time with you, because you were like, there was like a lineup to your booth all day, every day. It was nuts.
It was, and we called all of our retailers that we currently had at the show, well, I mean, currently had before the show, and we said, listen, like, make an appointment with us, because then we can give you our undivided attention instead of me not being there and you have to, like, walk around. And we're glad we did that, because we were able to meet a lot more people and give them the time and tell them about the brand and everything. And that's the way to do it. And guys who walked in, I will give them a lot of props. A majority of them sat and waited, and we gave them as much hospitality as we could, you know. But we didn't know what to expect for that show, because we were like, we're still, it's like our second show, and we had no idea that it was going to be like that. It was crazy. And we were just so thankful that everyone was just so understanding of it. And, you know, like, but it's easy. When you come in, we give you some cigars, we give you an espresso, and we're like, have a seat.
Yeah. It's not like you're waiting at the dentist's office.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, come in, smoke, have an espresso, and, you know, so it was an enjoyable show. And, you know, we were just happy that everyone was just, like I said, just really understanding. And we apologize if anyone, any retail or anything is watching, you came in and it just, you couldn't wait any longer. We're sorry. Come see us in Vegas, and we'll get you that time. Or give us a call.
Yeah, there you go. Even better. Then they don't have to wait until next year.
You don't gotta wait. I mean, yeah. If you want, I'll even do a Skype with you if you've gotta do that.
There you go. And then it feels like you're really there. You guys can have a cigar, you can sit down.
Yeah, exactly. Next time I'll bring the laptop and go out in the warehouse and you know, so you can sit out there in that environment, and we'll feel like we're, you know, in a lounge area.
Yeah, yeah. You're connecting. You're interfacing.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Who knows? So what did I miss? Anything exciting?
We were just talking about the IPCPR Las Vegas versus New Orleans, and maybe
John, we were talking about Black Honey and when the exact date it's going to re-release and all that.
Is there a re-release of the Black Honey? Is this breaking news? What's going on?
I guess Rob just missed out on that one.
I did. I missed out on it last time. I missed out on it this time. I missed out on everything.
I think I got 3 left in the walk-in. I don't know.
It's on the dry erase board right behind.
It's on the dry erase board.
If people haven't noticed that yet, I don't know.
It's back there. I mean, I can get up and go off camera and be the first, you know, guy to interview that gets off camera 3 times.
I think you're the first one to go off twice. The only other time we had somebody go off camera, he got up to go to the bathroom.
Oh no! I always say come back with like goodies.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. I'm glad he didn't come back with goodies.
I mean, like,
that could have been weird.
I mean, like, I can go get a black honey if you guys want. If you guys want to make that topic of conversation.
That's. I mean, watching you smoke one isn't going to do anything for me, man.
I want to ask, because we were talking a little offline about Japanese whiskey, and I want to know, because Rob and I do a sideshow sharing our pairings, and I got to know, what is your favorite Japanese whiskey to date?
That's a tough one.
It's deep.
You gotta dig deep for that. I mean, like, it depends on, like, are we talking, like, ones that, like, I buy on a regular basis, or ones that, like, I'm like, I got a bottle of it, I'm like, being really, really watchy with it.
Both. Yeah, let's let's go with your regular rotation Japanese whiskey and the Japanese whiskey that just blew your mind.
You know, I got some staples, like, I got the, you know, like the one sitting on my desk that we had right before, the Nika Coffee Grain, you know. This one is pretty much a staple. I always have like a bottle or two. The Hibiki, like, you know, if you go on like staples, like, you know, the 12s or whatever, Yamazakis are very good. But the one that really just kind of blew my mind, and it's not that difficult to get, nor is it that expensive, was the Nika by the Barrel.
Mm.
It's like, everything about that whiskey and that presentation in like the glass bottle looks like a hip flask. It was beautiful with the subtle, very simple, very, you know, that's the one thing about the Japanese whiskeys I really like is the labels. They're just so simple. Just let the product speak for itself, you know, and that's kind of where we are with it. And I have a couple of buddies in Japan that are like trying to send me some stuff you can only get over there. Like, it's not even available here. And I'm like, just send it.
You know, it's funny. I looked up, sorry, John, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I looked up Nika whiskey from the barrel, and you're right. It looks like a snake oil tonic bottle.
Yep.
Just very classic with the little lid. Just
yep.
And it's not expensive.
Nope.
Wow. I'll have to give that one a shot. I've never tried that. Sorry, John. Jump in.
Give it a shot. I mean, like I said, like, I'll spend money on good whiskey, but like sometimes like just the staples and the ones that you don't think are going to be like the most mind blowing ones are the most mind blowing.
Huh. Interesting. You know?
The one you got to try that I just tried at the recent tasting was the Nika Pure Malt White. I've had every other Nika under the sun, and the Pure Malt White absolutely blew me away. And again, I don't know how they're doing it, but it was like $63 a bottle, which is insane.
I wrote that down because I'm going to look for it then. I'm going to look for it. Yeah, it's kind of... Japanese whiskey is where it's at. Otherwise, I'm going bourbon, you know, but I'm really staple-y kind of with bourbon, you know, like Four Roses, Angel's Envy, things like that. Like, I'm not, like, going super, super high-end with it, you know, because it's just how, you know, I don't know, Buffalo Trace, like, depends on which one, or single barrels or cask strengths, or there's some Buffalo Trace that I had. I was doing an event at Corona Cigars, and they actually aged Buffalo Trace in their own barrels.
Oh, wow.
They have it like on the counter, and they take shots of it out, or they fill up your glass or whatever with it. And damn, it was good. Like, man, like, because Jeff's got an insane liquor collection. And you guys have ever get a chance to go through Orlando and go to a Corona Cigars?
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's got one hell of a liquor collection. I'll give him that. He's got, if you want it, he has it. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter. It can be anything you want. I love it. I love it. I love going up there because I spent a lot of time up there when I was at UCF, so that was like kind of like a second.
Cool. Joe, any more whiskey talk?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I'll throw this one out there because apparently I'm like a sponsor for Japanese whiskey now. The other one I'm going to throw out there, which Rob has talked about, Chichibu.
Ooh, girl.
Chichibu the Peated. If you can get your hands on that, It'll change your DNA, man. It'll change your DNA. It's amazing.
What's the profile on it?
It's peated. So I don't know if are you a fan of peated whiskey?
No.
Okay.
No.
So
then it's not gonna do anything for you.
Oh, then yeah, I'll stay clear. Like, I can't even stand Lafroig. I can't stand it.
Well, it's not like that. It's more elegant, it's more it's more nuanced. It's this perfect marrying of, you know, the Japanese whiskey style, which I'm sure you know by now, but with a peat depth to it. And the peat, the brilliant thing about the Chichibu the peated is the peat doesn't overwhelm the rest of the flavor profile. And I think that's what makes it so unique, because when you have a trial of Froig, I mean, you open it up and you clear a room. Because it's
barbecue.
Yeah, it's campfire barbecue.
It's a barbecue, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even when you pour it into a dram, and as soon as it opens up in the bowl, no.
So my Lafroig experience, and I've told this story before, but I'll tell a real quick version. My wife will sometimes just show up with a bottle of something. And one Friday, she shows up with a bottle of Lafroig. And she said, oh, somebody told me this was a great whiskey, and, you know, it was a great scotch, whatever, you're going to love it. I was like, okay, cool. I had never heard of it before. This was a while ago. And I opened the bottle. I was like, oh, hey now. And so I pour the glass, and I take a sip of it, and I just did not like it. I really, really didn't like it. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, but you drank it.
Absolutely. I drank the whole thing because, I mean, obviously the wife brings you a gift. You're gonna drink it.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you don't like it because it took you forever to drink it. I was like, no, it's really strong, so it took me a while to drink it. But after a while, I made my way through that bottle, and now I love it.
Nope. I'm trying to make my way through bottles, and I'm like, nope.
I managed to make my way through it, and I really do think that was exactly because of the circumstance. If it was something that I bought for myself, and I cracked it open and didn't like it, I'd hide it in the back of the bar and end up just leaving it there forever and giving it to somebody or whatever. But I kind of powered through, as they say, and really enjoyed it.
Yeah, if someone offers it to me, I drink it because I'm not rude, you know.
I'm not going to be a dick. I'll say yes.
If I'm paying for it, I'm not buying it.
All right, fair enough.
I like it's like I don't drink gin either. So.
Oh yeah. Can't stand gin.
No, man. The older I get, the more I like gin.
No. Gin and I had a very bad night one night, and we broke up a long time ago.
Oh, that's me and tequila, brother.
Tequila I'm fine with, but I'm not drinking tequila unless like I'm like going out or like it's like a celebration or something like that. Me and gin broke up a long time ago. It's funny because like there's a shop in Lakeland, it's called Edwards Pipe and Tobacco. Got the owner of it's name is Russy. I know him through, he's kind of a friend of mine, and I knew him through another friend. And he is obsessed with gin. So, like, he'll send me, like, the man fills up a pint glass, like, 3/4 of gin, caps a little bit off of tonic in there, and he sends, like, pictures, like, of it all. He's like, show this to Kyle, because, like, he sends it to my buddy Ryan. And I'm just like, oh, God, how could you do that? I don't know. Jin and I had a very bad night. And that was like two and a half years ago, and I've never touched it since. I used to like it. I used to love it. Now I'm like, nope, get away from me.
Hey, I can't really drink it straight. I like gin cocktails. I like to play with the different styles of gin in that particular cocktail and see how it changes the profile. But I went to this event last year, and they actually just had it this year. It's a San Francisco craft spirits event. And there were a ton of people making gin. Like, gin is a big deal now, apparently, as far as this event was concerned. And there was one company, and I can't remember what their name was, but they were I don't know what the terminology is, but they were aging their gin in bourbon barrels. So it was coming out brown, like a very light brown, and it was fantastic. It sounds awful. I saw your reaction. It sounds awful, but it was actually really good. I haven't bought any since then, so it wasn't
that good then.
It wasn't good enough for me to go buy it, but
it wasn't good enough for your money, so it wasn't good.
It was good enough when it was free. Maybe that's it. Anyway, so let's get back to these giveaways. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 winners. So John, you can pick one. Does that sound good?
You know, I think we should hook up the Canadian because let's keep it real with the Canadians. Let's hook up Jeff.
Oh, what the hell? Logan has to mail it out anyway.
Yep.
All right, Jeff, you're a big winner. What was Jeff?
He said he's never tried a warp cigar before, so I feel like that's the right guy to hit.
You were going to send him free stuff, and now you're just trying to get off of that.
That's right.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so Jeff,
that's the Scottish in me.
We're just going to call you Canadian Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff, you're a big winner. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more people. Now, all you winners, email rob@cigarfederation.com. And I know your names, so if I'm not calling it, don't email me.
Now I have to smoke this tonight because of you people.
Oh, damn.
You do have to smoke it. Smoke it right now and tell us your.
No, I can't let that go. No.
You can't give us some feedback on it?
No.
That's like a 54, maybe that looks like a 56 in your hand, man.
Believe me, that is not the case.
No?
That is not the case.
It's a 5.5 by 46. I don't think it's any. It's 46, 48 max.
No, that's over 50, bro.
No?
I can't see it.
Oh, it's just the angle.
I will say it's not over 50.
Okay. All right.
Okay. It looks tasty.
It was an optical illusion. Okay, so the winners, email Rob at Cigar Federation with Warped Cigar Chat in the subject line. In the email, I need your name and your address. And I also need your patience because we're not going to send these out for a while. They haven't made their way to Logan yet. Once they get to Logan, they're going to make their way to you. But so it'll probably be like towards the end of September. So winners are Jason Medina, On Fawn. Is it Fawn or Fan?
I think it's Fawn, but I could be wrong.
I always called him Ann, so that was wrong. So I got that part right. It's On Fawn, I think.
On Fawn.
Garen, because Garen, you said you hadn't tried anything yet. Now I can't read my writing here, who this person is, but I think he has more than one question. Oh shit. Oh yeah, D Griff. I don't recognize you, so I think you might be new to Cigar Chat. So thank you for joining us, D Griff, and our good friend Charlie from Cigar Federation. We never pick Charlie. Charlie, we never get to your questions, but you asked two good questions tonight, so you're a big winner as well. So I need all those emails to come to rob@cigarfederation.com. We're also going to pick some podcast winners and some AFRN winners, but it's not just, you know, email me. You actually have some, you need to give, there's a question that I need you to answer. Earlier in the show, Kyle was posed a question of, for someone who hasn't smoked Warp cigars yet, which cigars would you recommend that they start with? And he gave us one for each country of origin, and a few. He actually gave us one from Miami and three from Nicaragua. So I need all of those. I've got those answers written down. So email that to Rob at Cigar Federation as well. Put either Warp Cigars AFRN or Warp Cigars podcast in the subject line. I need your name and address and that information, and I'll pick those winners, and those guys will be contacted directly now that we got all that stuff out of the way. Let's see. Anything else? We've kept Kyle here a little bit longer than I anticipated. I promised you 70 minutes. Did we start talking about whiskey and things got weird, man?
Hey, things always get weird when you start talking about whiskey, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding.
My longest nights were, I'll just come over for like one dram. Yeah. 7 hours later, I finally leave the house, and I'm like, yeah, I was in there for a while.
It always works out that way. No, we appreciate you taking the time to hang out with us, sharing all the information with us. Really do appreciate it, man.
That's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. So, guys, again, thanks for tuning in to another Cigar Chat. We'll be back next week on Thursday again. Sorry we had to go on a Monday this week because my schedule with the Giants in town is jacked up, but they're on the road next week, so we're good. Next Thursday we'll have Big Willie Herrera in. This is the first time we've had Willie on the show, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, tell Willie that he still can't have my dog.
He still can't have your dog? What kind of dog do you have?
I have a pit bull.
Oh.
So he's obsessed with my dog, and he wants my dog. Like, just okay. His wife wants my dog, too.
Okay, Willie, Kyle says you can't have his dog. All right, I've made that note.
No, sorry, bro.
You just can't do it. All right. I wouldn't give up my dogs either, so I don't blame you.
Next year in Vegas, I will play roulette with him because he just stands there and keeps giving his wife money. And he just stands there and smokes and drinks. So, I'm fine with it, but he can't have my dog.
Okay, so roulette, yes, dog, no.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. We got that. All right, guys, thanks for checking us out, CigarFederation.com. You can find us everywhere, Cigar Federation, Instagram, Facebook, all that. Remember to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out all of our IPCPR coverage. We did 70 interviews, John, give or take, and they're all still there. And 90% of those cigars haven't even come out yet, so it's still all really new information. So check that stuff out as well. Appreciate it, guys. Everybody have a great week. Stay safe, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks, guys.